Remarks of the President, Hudson, New York, 10 October 1952.
You're welcome very much. And you know another thing I appreciate most highly. I'm told that your Republican chairman sent all these people down here so they could hear a lesson in politics. Now the other day, I received a letter from the president of your student council at your high school here. He tells me that you're going to have a football game here tonight, and I'm going to read you his letter, and then I'm going to answer it. He says, "Dear President Truman, it will indeed be a great honor for us when you stop at the Hudson on October the 10th. It is not often that a great man such as you stops at our small city. Writing as a representative of the Hudson High School, I know it would be greatly appreciated by the students if some way you could mention the football game, which will be played on the athletic field at Hudson High. Our opponent will be Columbia High School, and the game will start at 8 p.m. Wait. The plug hasn't come yet. Since the turnout at our games has been small, this certainly would stir up the spirit for our team. I realize that you have many worthwhile things to say and a short time in which to say them, and probably it would be difficult for you to mention the football game. Once again, I'd like to thank you for your plans to stop at Hudson. Now then, here's what I'm going to tell him. I wish I could stay and see that game. But I'm in a very embarrassing position, because it would be impossible for me to take sides. You see, I'm out on a political campaign. This is an election year, and I don't want to make anybody mad unless there's some good reason for it. There's one thing I would like to make a lot of people mad about, and I have a good reason for that. I'd like to make the people mad about the way the Republicans are insulting your intelligence in this election campaign. Now, Governor Stevenson has been telling you about the kind of campaign the Republicans are putting on, and so have I. There are a lot of people who won't believe what we tell them about this. They think we're a little prejudiced. So today, I want to read you something from another source. If this one is prejudice at all, it is certainly not in our favor. This is the Wall Street Journal for Friday, September the 12th. I have it right here. The headline says, "A GOP gamble. Ike's tacticians plan to keep his talk vague. They rely on his popularity. It's the old Dewey pattern. With a big difference, a hero candidate. They appeal to the ladies and the kids." Then the story says, "The vagueness of the candidate Eisenhower's campaign pronouncement thus far is no accident, nor is it merely a preliminary phase of the general's plan for winning. It's a part of a campaign strategy, which his aides aim to continue until election day." Then a little further down, the story goes on, "Mr. Eisenhower's campaign planners are well aware of the risk in failing to get down to brass tacks with the voters. They remember," now this is all the Wall Street Journal, "they remember, and indeed some of them helped mastermind the ill-fated campaign of New York's Governor Dewey in 1948. Critics agree that Mr. Dewey's generalities were a big factor in his defeat. But those who are counseling a similar course for Ike take pains to contend that Dewey didn't have what the general has, a tremendous reservoir of goodwill. Furthermore, says the Wall Street Journal, Mr. Eisenhower's strategy is dictated as much by necessity as by choice, and his advisors agree to that. Even Ike's most ardent admirers say he simply doesn't know enough about the home front to juice with Mr. Stevenson or Mr. Truman on many specific issues. The general couldn't even pretend to know the answers. One of his brain trusters asserts they're relying heavily on nothing more than the general's impact on the people. Especially, the Ike men are pitching their campaign at two big arguments of the voting population, the youth and the ladies. The general rarely fails to mention both in his campaign talks. Now, that's the end of the quotation of the Wall Street Journal, and it's not prejudiced in my favor, I can tell you. And that's not the worst part of the story about the Republican campaign. Even the Wall Street Journal wouldn't tell you the whole story about how the special interest lobbies control the Republican Party. But I think I read enough to show why you ought to be insulted. You know, the general said he was going to win this election by appealing to the emotions of the voters and not to their reason. He's not going to talk to you about the issues. Why? This article quotes one of the brain trusters as saying the general couldn't pretend to know what the answers are. I agree with that, and I don't think that's the kind of a man you ought to have for president. These are critical times, my friends, and the office of the President of the United States is the most important job in the world. This is one place where we need a man who does know the answers. I'm proud to say that the Democratic Party offers you a candidate who is that kind of a man, Mr. Stevenson. If you have been listening to his speeches, you know that he has a broad grasp of the problems we face today and a deep understanding of our political institutions. I'm urging you, particularly you people here who have the right to vote, to study the issues in this campaign. I want you to study the record. And you've got to get that record out of the congressional record where the congressmen are Republicans and Democrats. The Congress fixes the policies of the party that is in power. It doesn't do any good to listen to a lot of oratorical hooey unless you know what's being said, unless you know what they're talking about. And in order to find that out, you've got to read the record and see just exactly who's been on the side of the people and who hasn't. Now, you young people who are here tonight ought to inform yourselves on government. You ought to do the best you can to find out just exactly what this great republic means to you. You are the future men who, and women who will run this country, you young people. I'm urging you to get the information that'll do you the most good and make good citizens out of you. And when you do that, you'll find that there's one party in this country that's for progress, for looking ahead. There's one party in this country that wants to turn the clock back to 1896. Now, you young people can't go back to 1896. Some of you don't even know who was president in 1896. So I advise you to get the information that'll do you the most good. Look to your own interests and look to the future of the great nation, the greatest free nation in the history of the world. There never was a nation equal to this one. This nation, my friends, is the leader of the free world. We must have people who are looking forward and not people who are looking back. Now, if that's really what you want, you ought to register, be sure you're on the books, all you who can vote, and then go to the polls and vote for the man that is taking us forward, not one who doesn't know what the issues are and who's turning the clock back. I urge you, in your own interest, to go to the polls on the 4th of November and vote the Democratic ticket. Thank you very much.